Blog Talk Radio. Listeners, this is your host, Chocolate Lady 64, and I am happy to be with you guys tonight. As you know, I missed last Friday for a reason. Last Thursday for a reason. Last Thursday, my mother's birthday was on that Friday. We gave her a huge birthday party, surprise birthday party. So we were so swamped with so much stuff to do, I kind of didn't schedule a show for last week. But this week, we are going to wrap up our discussion on Black history, slavery in the United States. But you know I love to recap. So, first of all, let me say to everyone who listens to my show, thank you for listening. Continue to listen. It's improving as it goes. I love you guys. And I'm hoping you guys have had a great week, because I have. Nice and slow, nothing spectacular happening. So I love it when it's like that. It keeps down my stress. Now, I want to also say something else. This month, March, is Women's History Month. So keep that in mind. When you see a nice woman, mom, daughter, sister, auntie, cousin, tell them thank you. Doesn't have to necessarily mean anything. Just say thank you, because that's our month. We've made history. We might not be in the roll books and all that, but we've made history because we've actually lived to see an African-American president. So that's history in the making for us. So I say to all you out there, happy Women's History Month. So, getting that out of the way. Now, you know I love to recap. Let me get me my phone number. See, I keep going on and on and on, and I'm forgetting points. Okay. Points needed to be made is going to recap on everything that we've talked about for the month of February, excluding last week, since we missed last week. Okay, we started out with slavery in the United States, and I want to thank, first of all, let me thank all the people who wrote the articles that I've gotten my information from, Wikipedia, let's see, who else helped me, B. Davis Schwartz Memorial Library, CW Post, campus of Long Island University, helped me with this, with my information. And again, Wikipedia helped me when we talked about the military history of African Americans. Let's see, who else gave me a boost? I think those are the three. Oh, his name was Professor Melvin Sylvester, helped me with the article about the beginning of slavery. So these people have done a great job on this information, and I know I read majority of it to you. I picked out some things that I thought was very important that you guys really needed to know. So that's the reason why a lot of this I read. Now, you know I love to recap, so I'm getting ready to recap. So let's recap on everything we talked about. First, we started out with slavery in the United States. We talked about how we affected the population in America. We talked about where slavery started. What was the first state that had slavery, which was Virginia. We talked about indentured servitude. We talked about the timeline, where it started. We talked about us being property. Then we started our conversation about the beginning of slavery, and which I thought was a very, very, very exciting. We talked about slavery and race. We talked about slave codes and resistance. We talked about nation in crisis. We discussed the slavery timeline. We talked about the different people, like Harriet Beecher Stowe, the Dred Scott case. We talked about the Civil War when it began, the slave revolt and rebellion. You had Gabriel Prosser, Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner. We had the Underground Railroad. We discussed that. We talked about Amistad insurrection and raid on Harper's Ferry in the election of 1860, the Reconstruction from 1865 to 1877 in the Civil War. And then I went into African-American military military history of African-Americans. And we talked about the different wars that we participated in, or our ancestors did. We talked about the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, the Indian War. We talked about the Mexican War, the Civil War, how important the parts we played in it, the Second Italo-Abyssinian War, World War I. I think we did World War II also. We discussed how we moved up in the ranks in the Navy, and how, and we also, Vietnam War and Korean War reversed. We talked about how the services were separated by race, and how some of the commanders had a problem with being responsible for African-American soldiers. We talked about heroism, how many of them died to fight for a country that didn't want them. So we talked about a lot in the last past 3 weeks. So that's why I said I just want to recap so I can keep my mind focused on what we want to talk about tonight. Now, excuse me. I thought Black History Month was very interesting. I know I didn't go deep and bring up a lot. I just wanted to go back in history. To me, that's more important because now it makes me feel good being a veteran and serving in two conflicts, being African-American, being a woman, and having to be able to be part of this history. So I thought it was very important for us to do that. Now, today, we'll discuss, excuse me, you guys. I'm going to start off by going back because I'm going to go back a little bit with slavery. And we're going to talk about the history of Juneteenth. And if you know what Juneteenth is, it's June 19th, okay? And it says that it's dating back to 1865, June 19th, that the Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger landed in Galveston, Texas, with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. Note that this was 2.5 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which had become official January 1st, 1863. Now, the Emancipation Proclamation, which had become official January 1st, 1863, 3 had little impact on the Texans due to the minimum number of Union troops enforced the news. The new executive order. However, with the surrender of General Lee in April of 1865 and the arrival of General Granger's regiment, the forces were finally strong enough to influence and overcome the resistance. Later attempts to explain this 2.5-year delay in the receipt of this important news had yielded several versions that have been handed down through the years. Let's see. Where did I leave off that? Often told is the story of a messenger who was murdered on his way to Texas with the news of freedom. Another is that the news was deliberately withheld by the enslavers to maintain the labor force on the plantations. And still another is that federal troops actually waited, for the slave owners to reap the benefits of one last cotton harvest before going to Texas to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation. All or none of them could be true. For whatever the reason, conditions in Texas remained status quo, well beyond what was statutory. Now, it says General Order Number 3, one of the General Granger's first orders of business was to read the people of Texas General Order Number 3, which began most significantly with, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection hitherto existing between them becomes that between employer and free labor." So you can imagine how they felt about Juneteenth. So actually, this is actually a Texas type of celebration, since they were the last to know 2 years later what happened. So I thought that was a very interesting thing to talk about. So just imagine, or just be prepared for June 19th celebration, because you're going to hear a lot about it. And like I said, actually, it was a Texas celebration. Just wanted to give you that. And let me see where I get that from. This came from Juneteenth.com information, this article, because I didn't really understand what Juneteenth was myself. So let's see here. Then we'll talk about Senate, according to the Washington Post, and this was 2009 article from the Washington Post, and it says Senate backs apology for slavery. Resolution specifies that it cannot be used in reparation cases. It says the Senate unanimously passed a resolution yesterday apologizing for slavery, making way for a joint congressional resolution and the latest attempt by the federal government to take responsibility for 2.5 centuries of slavery. You wonder why we didn't do it 100 years ago, Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, led sponsor to the resolution, other resolution, said after a unanimous consent vote. It is important to have a collective response to a collective injustice. The Senate's apology follows a similar apology passed last year by the House. One key difference is that the Senate version explicitly deals with the long-simmering issue of whether slavery descendants are entitled to reparation, saying that the resolution cannot be used in support of claims for restitution. The House is expected to revisit the issue next week to conform its resolution to the Senate version. Harkin, who called the Senate vote an important and significant milestone, said he wanted the resolution passed yesterday to closely coincide with Juneteenth, a holiday first celebrated by former slaves to mark their emancipation. This recent willingness to deal with the nation's difficult racial history has come about in part because of President Obama's election, says Representative Stephen Cohen, Democratic for Tennessee, who began pushing for an apology more than a decade ago when he was a state senator and pronounced himself pleased with the Senate vote. Still, Cohen said, there are going to be African Americans who think that the apology is not reparation and it's not action. And there are going to be Caucasians who say, get over it. I look at it as something that makes people think. Even among proponents of a congressional apology, reaction to yesterday's vote was mixed. Carol M. Swang, a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University, who had pushed for the Bush administration to issue an apology, called the Democratic-controlled Senate resolution meaningless, since the party and federal government are led by a black president and black voters are closely aligned with the Democratic Party. The Republican Party needed to do it, Swain said. It would have shed that racist scab on the party. Excuse me, let me get something to drink here. I don't know why I got such a dry throat. Republicans, however, were supportive of the resolution. It doesn't fix anything, but it does go a long way towards acknowledgement and moving us on to the next step to building a more perfect union, doing the things that Martin Luther King would talk about, like building a colorblind society, said Senator Sam Brownback of a Republican from Kansas, as would all congressional apologies, but especially this one. Concerns about liability for restitution were part of the political calculation in this case, because the long-running debate about whether the descendants of slaves should be compensated. Charles Ogletree, the Harvard Law professor who has championed restitution, was consulted on the Senate's resolution and supports it, but he said it is not a substitute for reparations. That battle will be prolonged, he said. Randall Robinson, author of The Debt, What America Owes to Blacks, said he sees the Senate's apology as a confession that should lead to a next step of reparation. Much is owed, and it is very quantifiable, he said. It is owed as one would owe for any labor that one has not paid for, and until steps are taken in that direction, we haven't accomplished anything. Cohen said he and Harkin worked closely with NAACP and other civil rights groups on language that would not endorse or preclude any future claims of reparation. It will not harm reparation, but won't give any standing to it, Cohen said. So, they did try to apologize, or they have apologized for slavery. Very interesting. You'll hear me say very interesting a lot, because I really mean very interesting. It amazes me. The Emancipation Proclamation would have such an impact still to this day on a lot of stuff. And the idea that America finally wants to admit that there was slavery, that we were not put here on our own, that we didn't come here on our own, and the idea that they apologize, to me, is amazing. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to also talk about, since we're still in Black History Month in my mind and in my segment, I wanted to talk about also inventors. Now, and I listened to the radio a lot, and I know they were talking about last month. You're not going to hear it this month, but last month I heard them talking about the person who discovered or invented the ironing board, the refrigeration, and all that. Those are very good things. But also on that, we have a lot more inventors, African-American inventors. I'm looking at one that says contemporary African-American inventors as of right now. African-American inventors at NASA, they have a man at the GM Corporation, the man who discovered the X-ray spectrometer, which was George Alcorn, Janet Emerson Bation, Patricia Bath, cataract laser focal probe, microcomputer system was Mark Dean Phillip, I can't say this man, Igawali, programming supercomputers, Lonnie G. Johnson, Super Soaker. I remember that when that happened. Valerie Thompson, Illusion Transmitter. John Thompson, Software Inventions, James Edward West, Electric Microphone. And then we have a lot of people who hold patents. But you got to remember back in the day, and I say the white man stole a lot of patents from the African Americans when they were trying to either get them or have them. They found a way of getting them away from the black inventors. Let's see. What do we want to talk? Okay, we are familiar with Benjamin Banneker. He was a self-educated science astronomer, inventor, writer, and anti-slavery publicist. He built a striking clock entirely from wood, published a farmer's almanac, and actively campaigned against slavery. He was one of the first African Americans to gain distinction in science. Very, very important. We already know about George Washington Carver. I don't know if anybody knows about Garrett Morgan, the son of former slaves. Garrett Morgan was born in Paris, Kentucky. As a self-educator, he went on to make an explosive entry into the field of technology, invented a gas inhalator when his brother and some volunteers were rescuing a group of men caught by an explosion in a smoke-filled tunnel under Lake Erie. So he's the inventor of the gas mask, you guys. Okay, let's see. We're talking about Mr. Lewis Howard Latimer. He enlisted in the Union Navy at the age of 15, and upon completion of his military service, returned to Massachusetts and was employed and was employed by a patent solicitor, where he began the study of drafting. His talent for drafting and his creative genius led him to the invent method of making carbon filaments for the Maxim electric incandescent lamp. He's the one who makes the little filaments for our lamps and light bulbs. We all know Madam Walker. She's from Louisiana, matter of fact. She made hair care and beauty products. Have we heard of Elijah McCoy? Elijah McCoy was born in Ontario, Canada in 1843, the son of slaves who had fled to Kentucky, educated in Scotland. He returned to the United States to pursue a position in his field of mechanical engineering. During his lifetime, he earned more than 50 patents. Whoa. We have Granville T. Woods, born in Columbus, Ohio. Dedicated his life to developing a variety of inventions relating to the railroad industry. Some used to call him the Black Edison for being a prolific inventor. Okay, let's talk about Jan Magzinger. He immigrated to the United States at the age of 18, went to work in a shoe factory in Philadelphia. Shoes then were handmade, slow, tedious process. He helped revolutionize the shoe industry by developing a shoe-lasting machine that would attach the sole to the shoe in 1 minute. Awesome. Didn't know that. Let's see. Jack Johnson, African-American heavyweight champion, patented a wrench on April the 18th, 1922. After champion, Jack Johnson defeated James Jeffries, a leading white fighter who came out of retirement to try to take the heavyweight champion back from Johnson. Black poet William Waring Cooney captured the exuberant African American's reaction in his poem, "My Lord, What a Morning." He patented a wrench. Isn't that amazing? We have Lonnie G. Johnson, the Super Soaker guy, which that happened in 1988. Let's see. He was an aerospace engineer. We can talk about some of our African-American women inventors, which will be good for Women's History Month. We have Sarah Good, first black woman to patent. Miriam Benjamin, second black woman to patent. Janet Emerson Bashin, first black woman granted software patent. Patricia Bath, first black woman doctor to patent medical device. Madam Walker, we talked about. Marjorie Joyner, which was her partner of Madam Walker. Valerie Thomas, we talked about her earlier, illusion transmitter. Bessie Blout, physical therapist. Sarah Boone, ironing board. Lita Newman, improved a hairbrush. Ruth J. Myrl, personalized paper ring binder. Joycelyn Harrison, she did a piezoelectric polymers. So I don't know what that was, but she invented it. So I thought that information was very interesting. And let's see where I get this from. Inventorsabout.com is where I got this information from. So, you see, we were very vital to America. You enslaved us. We learned. And I think that says everything. You enslaved us. We learned. So, you see how important it is for us to make sure that we're learning from what we're doing. We learn from our past so we can bring it to the future. I believe we would have never known about how to take care of our hair, how to put on makeup, how to buy makeup, how to even have cosmetics if it wasn't for Mammy Walker, Madam Walker, you know. So we actually made a vital contribution to how things are in America. And like I said earlier about the ironing board, everybody uses an ironing board. You talk about the traffic light. You have to use a traffic light. You know what I'm saying? You talk about peanuts. We all eat peanuts. Some of us are allergic to them. Some of us are not. But those are the things that our people invented, made happen. And we're continually doing our best to keep moving on. So it's very important for us to teach our children how important their stance in this society is at this moment. We have a high dropout rate in the African American community. Why? We have some of the radio personalities that's doing this 1 million mentor campaign. Great idea, but are you getting the people to participate? And why does it take a radio personality to come to your town to tell you, take care of your community, take care of your kids? You know, those are the kind of questions I ask myself because they came here. I didn't go, but they did come here. I know some parents feel overwhelmed. Give me one second here. I know that some people wonder why it took somebody from another state or personality, radio personality, to get involved into something that we should have been doing in our community all this time. it just amazes me that it took them to come and tell us we need to take care of our kids. That amazes me. You know, I can truly say, and I can't speak for anyone else, I can truly say I have done my part. Not that I'm not doing my part, because some way, shape, form, or faction, I am affecting somebody. I'm affecting someone in some kind of way when it comes to, let's see here, I'm sorry. Okay. It's some kind of way I have affected somebody's life. And I know I have simply because I still have kids that come to me and talk to me that I worked with when I worked in the Youth Challenge Program as a cadre or drill instructor, another word for a drill instructor. I had this very adventurous day last Saturday, as a matter of fact, with a young lady. I was getting ready for my mom's birthday party on Post, and I saw this little girl, and I knew she would belong to the Youth Challenge Program because I remember a lot about them. And she took off behind a building, so I started screaming at her, and I had my sister in the car with me, and my sister just thought I was just going crazy because she had never seen me act like that. It's like I went into another mode, and my mode was that cadre. So they finally caught up with her, and I blasted her out, and I guess she understood. But what I want to do is do a surprise visit. I'm not her mentor, but I gave her the attention that she was craving. She needed attention. That's one thing I did. I got her attention. She got my attention, and I got her attention. And I will be visiting her one day. So to me, that's a little piece of the puzzle. She'll remember me. I promise you that. She will definitely remember me because of what I said to her, how important it is for her to finish out the program, how important for her to move on in her life once she finished the program, you know. So that makes me feel good. And they also have, with that program, with the Youth Challenge Program, they have mentors that these kids go under after care, and that's after they finish the program. They're under somebody who's supposed to watch over them and keep them, you know, uplifted and moving on with their life. Some of them do, and then some of them don't. I mean, you have to pray for the ones who don't, and you have to continue to encourage the ones who do. So I thought that was very important to tell you when it comes to mentoring your children. I think I've kind of talked about what I wanted to on that subject. I just want us, and let me say this, if I can. I want us to take some time and look around you. Look around your neighborhood. Look around the people you work with. Look around your own home. Understand this. Each and every one of those people that you come in contact with is not promised that you'll see them the next day. So to say that, I'm saying that to say this. We have to come to a decision in our lives when whatever differences we have with people, that we need to fix them. And let me not say, oh, go to somebody and fall all over them when they've given you misery most of your life. I'm saying come to a resolution inside yourself that this person is no longer going to disturb my emotional and mental capacity. Because in that comes healing. In that comes a positive attitude. In that comes healing. Out that comes a positive attitude. And what you have to do is you have to know when to begin that healing. It doesn't start overnight, but it's up to you to at least attempt it. Learning how to do that, I noticed that my stress level is not like it used to be. When I, you know, some people might say, oh, she just don't care. No, it's not that I don't care and I don't avoid a situation. I just feel that I can take that energy and use it somewhere else. And that's exactly what I do a lot of times. So I say that when you're having a bad time with someone, step back. Allow whatever has to happen, happen. I'm not talking about go beat them up or kill them. I'm just saying let whatever has to be said, and just step back and go to another place within your mind and come back when you're ready to say what you need to say the right way. Don't be afraid to apologize because life is too short. It really is. Life is way too short. And I'm hoping that we can continue to grow as a society. I hope that we can continue to strive to work so much harder. And to me, I think there is a lot of progress because you notice that majority of the news that is told to us about how we feel about each other, how we feel about our neighbors, how we feel about the United States, how we feel about the community, is all kind of negative. You know, you never hear a lot of the positive stuff that happens. You hear bits and pieces of positivity, but you never hear it all together. So it's up to us to make sure that that kind of news is getting out. Make sure that we are projecting, because it's a lot of pressure on us to always pretend like everything is happy-go-lucky and everything is fine. We have to, let's say, stop that. Stop just making things just, everything is perfect. It's not. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. It's up to us to come together and make things better. We have our little, I'm not saying don't stop your community activities. Don't stop your action, your devotion to what you do in your community. I'm saying make it bigger. Don't let a celebrity, a personality, a singer, an entertainer come to your town and tell you what you need to do. You make your own decisions. I know it's doom and gloom. We look at the news every day. We're looking at students, teachers, parents protesting against the education, a hike in education prices. But we still got to move on. Our kids still got to learn something. We're behind China. We're behind a lot of these foreign countries because we're not investing in our children. And it's not about the money. Investing in your children is sitting down with them and doing their homework. Don't allow the TV to teach them. Tutor them. Get their friends together if their parents can't help. Get the friends together and tutor them. You know, I think, and I look, and I can't really base everything off of what everybody else do. I only can base it off of what I have done in the past. I've worked two jobs, and I had a son to raise. I took time out of my busy schedule to make sure his homework was done. I took time out to make sure that I spent time with him. I did all that. I had no other choice. No matter what was going on, I made sure I took care of him. And I also took time out with other children, especially at church, you know. I worked with the youth all through the time that I was at church. At this certain church. So that's why I say you make the time, no matter how busy your schedule is, make the time to deal with your kids or even neighborhood kids. you'd be surprised what you're putting in them, what you're instilling in them. You got some that's going to rebel. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. You got some that's going to rebel, but move on with them. That's fine. Let them have their time. Because what they're going to do is they're going to sit back and watch how the other kids are interacting, how your child is interacting with other kids. And they're going to want to join in. I promise you, I've worked it. I've watched it before where kids actually sit back and want to be stubborn and don't want to have anything to do. And once they see the other kids playing, then all of a sudden they get involved. So that's why it's so important for us to set examples as parents when it comes to our children. Because there's so much we have to do in our day, and there's so much pressure on them. They've got pressure from home and they got pressure from school. So we have to learn how to help them balance that. And that's why I say I appreciate it, but I don't, when we could be doing the same thing for our children every day, mentoring them. It's fine to mentor other children, but what about mentoring your own? And we don't do that enough. And all of that goes in connection with education, taking time out and spending time with children and teaching them. Because a lot of times the parents don't know because they weren't taught. You have a lot of parents that never graduated from elementary school, much less high school or junior high school. So it would be nice if programs to teach a lot of the parents how to teach their kids or how to help their children with their homework was being brought out, put together, developed, and created. That would help out a lot in our community. Now, another topic I want to get on real quick, and I didn't understand it. I heard it, but I'm going to move on with it. The topic with Reverend Al Sharpton and Tavis Smiley, I don't know what they're bickering about. The idea that somebody feels that President Obama is not paying attention to us, our strife, how long we've been going through all of this and he's in there and he hasn't done anything. And they want to hold him accountable like all the other African-American leaders want to hold each other accountable for what they're doing. Let's stop it. Let's stop the bickering. Let's stop the bickering and do. Action speaks louder than words. You can't have action in your vocabulary if you don't use it. You know what I'm saying? You're not using it. I don't have time to argue and fight with anybody. If I'm on a mission, I'm on a mission. If I want something completed, I want it completed. I just don't have time to argue about stuff. If it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Let's get it done. Let's argue after. Let's argue after the end results. Let's argue when things are not working. But you can't argue before. You can't argue before the situation. Argue after. If you're not getting result, then find out why the result was not there. And what can we do to get that result, that ultimate result? So that's how important it is for us to come together, be a community, and make things happen. Now, I want to break for a commercial, and we will return. I hope so far you guys have enjoyed the show. Like I said, you can call in at 347-677-1749. Please, the caller that was listening and tried to call in, I will confess, I want you to call in, but I don't know how to operate that because I've never had anybody I just caught me off guard. I was looking at my screen, and I was like, okay, somebody called me. But I didn't know how to pick it up. I don't. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I still got to ask some more questions about how to do that. Let's see here. Okay. so many different things that are coming up in the future.
Takes a lot of strength to say goodbye. Oh, it's so hard to do. I wonder if I'm wrong.
When we come back, we're going to discuss the closing on this topic. And again, if you want to call in, you may. I'm going to attempt to try to answer it. It's 347-677-1749, and we'll discuss what we will talk about next week also. Conversation on all the different topics I brought. All the different topics I brought up in one conversation. I have so much stuff going on in my head. That I want to make sure I'm getting everything all out at the same time. Okay, let's discuss what we're going to do next week. Next week, we will definitely talk about, see if I can get this. Okay. definitely, we're going to discuss next week, I'm trying to figure out, I tell you what, if you guys have a good topic for next week that we can talk about on the show, you give me that topic, email it to me, and I'll find all the information, and we'll discuss it. Oh, sorry. Still have my earrings on. That hurts. We didn't do the commercial, and I'll go into the commercial again later before the show's over with. I would like for you guys to do me a favor. I would like for you guys to visit my website. It's www.samanthaplace.net. Give me your opinion of the website. Tell me what I can do better. I finally got it going. I've been working on it for the longest. I finally got some stuff on it. I also am in the future. I'm launching another website, and it's called simplysharp@equator.com, where women, I'm not trying to exclude the men, but I'm gearing more of my stuff toward women. You'll be able to buy all kinds of things off of there at a reasonable price. Once I get that launched and operating and up, you guys will be able to go and shop and have a good time. And let's see. You know that you can email me at sensible64@yahoo.com if you have any comments to make, suggestions, because I'm always looking for comments and suggestions how I can do this better. If I don't hear from anybody at least by Tuesday of next week, I'll have to find my own show topic. Because sometimes it's so much I could talk about, but it's kind of putting it all in one perspective and kind of gearing everything on that topic. So I have to do a lot of research, and that gives me plenty of time to do that. So if you guys don't mind, can you please suggest to me what we could talk about on the show? Because I want you guys to be more interactive with my show. And again, I want to apologize to the caller that I was not able to pick up their phone in time. After I tried to call it, it said I couldn't do it. So after I picked it up, it said I couldn't do it. So, excuse me, I would like to truly apologize to them for that. Now, I would like to, again, invite you guys to my website. We also have another website, which is a friend of mine, she's in the process of launching her website, and it's called Lace, Wigs, and Lingerie by Jenny.com. So we're trying to both push those websites. You can also catch me on YouTube. You can catch me at, my channel name is CMBS44. You can catch me on YouTube. For all of those who have not seen what I look like, you can go to YouTube, and I'm on there constantly. Talking about, because I'm a wig fanatic, I love wigs, I love looking nice, I love beauty and clothes, so I'm going to be advertising on YouTube, and I also have another, because it keeps me remembering, I also have another channel on there. It's called Voice of Change. You can visit that one. Or did I say it right? Voice 2010. It's Voice 2010. I haven't had anything uploaded on there yet because I'm trying to put some material together now. But those are the two channels I have on YouTube that you can go to and see. see what I'm talking about on there as well as on this radio show. What I want to do now is play you guys an ending song. Excuse me. I'm trying to find something nice. Excuse me. Little jazz piece from a lady named Candy. Kind of cut out the show. I want to say good night. See you next Thursday, same time, same bat place, 8 p.m. And please let me know if you wanted to give me a reason or give me a good show topic, or I'll have one by Tuesday. I want to say good night to all of you guys. I love you. Continue to listen. I'm getting better. This is your host, Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm sounding off. Good night.